When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins.
Well, a whole lot to get to. Of course, Dianne Feinstein.
That's what I heard. Yep.
What's going to happen now?
Well, she'll just vote still.
Oh, my goodness. I've heard a number of people say that already.
Well, there is some validity to that. I mean, they've been doing it forever, and she's, you know, had no idea what she was voting on the last year.
Well, she did vote yesterday.
That's it. Yeah. Yes.
You know what some people think is going to happen?
Newsom?
He'll appoint Kamala Harris.
Well, is she going to want that gig, VP to
she
senator?
She may not have a choice, Scott.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen.
I said some people.
I know.
Think that's going to happen. That would take the Democrats out of a awkward position because they know they can't go forward with Kamala Harris.
I figured you might take a page out of the Rod Blagojevich. And that's just to go ahead and sell it.
In some ways, it's already happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't think that's going to happen? It'll go to Kamala Harris, David.
I don't see how that actually happens, no.
Newsom could appoint himself.
I don't think he'll do that either.
What do you think's going to happen?
I think there's going to be some pettiness there. I mean, he does not get along very well with two of the people who are already running for Senate, Katie Porter and Adam Schiff. There's a big, and you know, again, I not having grown up in the California political scene, but as I understand it, there's a big rift between, like, Northern California politicians and Southern California politicians, different mindsets. I mean, to me, it kind of all looks the same when you're talking about, like, San Francisco versus Los Angeles. It's all crazy, but apparently there's some sort of rivalry there. So he's going to totally screw over two of the people who are currently running for that, if not three, and I'm not entirely sure who would wind up filling that position, but it's going to be just a petty fest.
Well, he's also said he's just going to have a placeholder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, you got to figure who's going to, if somebody has a political career already, you're going to be the placeholder? I don't know if I want that gig or not.
Well, more on that a little bit later.
Yeah.
You know, we have a big story with a looming government shutdown.
Newsom just put it on Career Builder. I just saw that.
Oh, good.
Okay, there.
And then you have, well, this problem at the border. It's a crisis, a humanitarian crisis. I think people can agree on that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the border's secure.
No, it's not.
Democrats are still
this is unbelievable.
Out there saying that. This is an unbelievable piece of audio to me.
Yeah, it is. One of the far-left Democrats in the House, Ayanna Pressley, says the border is secure even as her own state's governor has declared a state of emergency. In Massachusetts.
Roll this audio. Jake Tapper is almost out of his mind at CNN.
Yeah, so Jake Tapper, I whittled this down because the entire thing is, I don't know, like 8 minutes long. And so
I suffered through it. Yeah.
I whittled it down to the highlights, so it's about 90 seconds long. Ayanna Pressley, she was asked if some Republicans who are willing to shut down the government without, you know, if they don't get more border security agreements, maybe they've got a point, says Jake Tapper.
Roll it.
No doubt about it. Our border is secure, and we're in the midst of a humanitarian crisis, and we have to fix a broken system.
You think it is secure? You think the border is secure, or it is not secure?
I believe that we are in the midst of a humanitarian crisis, and there needs to be federal investment, and it's the consequence of a number of longstanding broken policies.
This is what happens when politics overtakes your soul.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. And you just can't answer an honest question because there's no way you're that dumb.
Well, then he asks it again and she doesn't answer it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you, this being a humanitarian crisis at all. But just to get some clarity on this, and sure, that's a conversation for another day. But do you think that the border is secure? Is that what you said?
Yes, the border is secure, and we are in the midst of a humanitarian crisis.
Time out, just a second. What are the latest numbers? I know two different days it was over 11,000.
Yeah, by the end of the week, it'll probably be somewhere between 70 and 100,000.
And what are the estimates now over the last 2.5 years?
The population of the greater Chicago area, 9 million-ish.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's been open borders. That's what it's been. Anyone that's paid attention at all knows this, right? Oh, no, border secure, says Ayanna Pressley.
And we're in the midst of a humanitarian crisis that has been created by a broken system.
Have millions of undocumented migrants coming into the country, how is the border secure?
Jake, this is not a new crisis. Oh. It is a humanitarian crisis. We should treat it as such.
But it just seems like just such a refusal to acknowledge reality, just to say that the border is secure when we all know millions of people are crossing the border illegally every year.
Jake, and that is a consequence of a number
but
of
that
things.
Means the border's not secure.
We have climate refugees, people that have been disabled in regions that are disabled.
Did you know that? It would have been refugees. Decades ago, we would have had more illegal immigration, except the weather wasn't so bad back then. But now the weather is driving people to risk everything into the United States. Did they see the weather over the summer and the way legacy media treated the weather over the summer? You're leaving your place for climate? Well, it's hell here on earth, according to them.
Climate refugees, people that have been disabled in regions that are destabilized by extreme weather events.
Sure.
We have people that are violence and corruption.
Yep.
And so we just have to acknowledge why someone would leave their native country.
Oh. But would you grant me the point that the border is not secure?
Jake, that is a conversation for another day.
No, it's not.
No, it's really not.
Today, because the conversation should be, we're not passing anything. And you want to shut the government down? Shut it down. Until you close the border.
Yeah.
Until it's secure. There's no deal. And stand firm on it.
Well, I hate this broken system thing. That's the conversation that we shouldn't be having today. That's a different time. I mean, if I break my arm and I have to go to the emergency room, do I care about the new software that the nurses and doctors are struggling with? Do I care about scheduling issues? Do I care about interpersonal problems within the ER staff? No, I want my damn arm fixed because my elbow is facing the wrong way.
Yeah. Stop the bleeding first. Stop the issue. And then we have to understand why people are coming. We already know that. This whole root causes thing with Mamala, this has always been an absolute debacle. Again, man, I hope they stand firm. The House Republicans, even though they're completely demonized. We'll see.
In the words of the great late Tom Petty, you don't have to live like a climate refugee.
If you keep up with lines like that, you're going to be on the debate stage.
I am giving it to him freely.
You're writing jokes for Chris Christie right now,
aren't
you?
That's what it sounds like. Maybe just a little bit. Writing.
Yeah.
You didn't expect that, did you?
No, the support I get on this show is unreal sometimes. Unbelievable.
Just having some fun. A little boomer humor. I love it. Come on. Okay. Meanwhile.
Boomer humor.
Joe Biden yesterday, we found out some things about the family business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was some money coming into Hunter to Joe's address.
Yeah. So we've got that going on. And the first hearing with the impeachment inquiry was underway. And Democrats are just throwing everything they can out there to try to obfuscate and basically just confuse as many people as possible by saying, well, there's no evidence against Joe Biden. And then you say, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. I saw one headline from Reuters that said Republicans failed to present any evidence of Joe Biden profiting off of his son Hunter's business deals. But they're also, at the same time, with that article, sharing a photo of Marjorie Taylor Greene holding up a message where a foreign businessman is asking Hunter if Hunter's dad is going to be part of the conversation because he needs to know so that he can tell his bosses before they meet.
Of course.
So, like, yeah, there is evidence there, and the inquiry is underway to try to get more information to see if an impeachment is warranted. That's the point of this. And part of the evidence that has come out, that House Republicans put out there just a couple days ago, was a wire transfer that went from a Chinese businessman to Hunter Biden, and the beneficiary address on the transfer was Joe Biden's personal address. And according to Hunter Biden's lawyers, Hunter Biden's permanent address was not in Delaware. It was
Malibu.
In Malibu. It was in California.
Mm-hmm.
So why was that listed? Boy, that seems rather suspicious. Philip Bump, one of the most shameless propagandists in legacy media right now. He is with the Washington Post. Philip Bump. He wrote, again, a wire transfer was not sent to Joe Biden's home because that's not how bank wires work. Well, geez there, Mr. Fancy Washington Post. I just figured that Joe Biden would pick up the telephone and the money would pour into his ear. I had no idea. Thank you for explaining to me how wire transfers work, Mr. Fancy Washington Post man.
Well, that was their big debunk.
Right.
That was it.
I mean, as you evolve our institution.
Yeah, right. Nothing didn't come to me. No, of course that's not the way it works. Again, the evidence is everywhere. The media, dude, they're just liars. That's all you can say. There's not even an attempt to be honest. It's already fixed. It just is what it is. And we've talked about it a million times, and I'm not saying this is the answer. But sometimes I think when you have conversations with different friends or family or whoever, and they say, you know, there's no evidence Joe did anything, you should just say, you know what, you're pretty dumb. Because I've been trying to tell you for a while, you got to get your news from more than just the same old sources that you've always got them from. But you don't. So, okay, you're not a dumb person. But because you get information from people that lie to you, that makes you dumb. You have no friggin' idea what's going on. Because I always believe if most people knew what was really happening, it would get stopped in a hurry. But people are brainwashed, man. And you have a clip of Biden here, David?
Oh, yeah. Joe Biden gave a speech on the state of democracy yesterday, seriously, and talked about trying to reassure NATO allies in Europe that America is still going strong.
Okay.
In Europe, the NATO meeting, I sat down. It was in January. After being elected, early February.
Oh, my goodness. It is. It's getting worse all the time.
Yeah. Just a stutter, a lifelong stutter that we all knew about for years.
It's not a stutter.
LLJ Cool J.
And the whole democracy, the fight for democracy, when the White House is in collusion with big tech to suppress information from the American people. Fight for democracy. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, when your Justice Department is trying to keep the guy that's running ahead of you in the polls in jail.
Yes.
When I signed the bipartisan infrastructure again, which...
Yeah, the
yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Lock up my opponent.
Yeah, he's way ahead of us. It's like National Treasure. You got to get to the clues to figure out what the heck he's saying.
That is democracy.
Yeah. I've been fighting it since I've been a young freshman.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All right. Whole lot going on. We're going to have some fun next. All right. It's the Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. A lot of things going on today. Of course, big news. Dianne Feinstein, Senator from California, passed away.
Mm-hmm. After casting a vote.
Yesterday.
The Democrats didn't even let her go home to die. That's how evil
these
people are.
Did she die in her office?
No, she has a home in D.C.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I mean, her main home is in California.
Yeah.
And at least the way you understand it, she was close to death.
Well, look at her. Yeah. Of course she was close to death.
You got
to
get that vote in there, you know? It is, man. I was getting texts from people. How evil is this business?
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, the bells are ringing. They're like, we got like three bells left. Get her to vote.
Can we wheel her in there? And then it's like M. Night Shyamalan plot twist. She's actually been dead for 3 months.
But we got the vote. Okay. All right. Kill the bells. All right. Great. Got the vote. Unreal, dude.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Bad deal.
All the way around. But more on that a little bit later. Couldn't help it. Watching Good Morning America. Sometimes I don't even watch the show. I just want to see in the open what they're going to talk about. Because, you know, it's government shutdown and it's House Republicans. Oh, my gosh.
National parks across the country will be closed, as will passport renewal offices. 7 million people who rely on the nutrition program WIC would see their aid delayed. Food assistance and veterans benefits will all be impacted.
That's all this and all these House Republicans. They have this deal and then they pull out of this thing. Again, does anyone see what's going on at the border? Is that ever going to get addressed or just thousands and thousands going to come through?
Yeah, thousands and thousands are going to come through. Nobody's serious about this. Nobody.
I don't even know why you need to worry about passport renewal services. Passports don't mean anything.
Nobody's trying to get... Well, okay, so this might not affect you, but for some of you people with more money, you wanting to get your passport to get out of the country and do some traveling, this could affect you too. Okay, I guess. Michael Strahan, you know, part of Good Morning America. He was previewing the shutdown this morning. Here you go, just for your pleasure.
Millions of Americans in danger of going without pay, from military families to Border Patrol officers. Some families stand to lose federal food assistance. Speaker McCarthy still scrambling. Top White House official John Kirby joins us live with what it could mean for the military and national security.
There you go. That go along with your old theory on Michael Strahan, David?
A little bit, yeah, towards the end, where because he's got that little bit of a lift, they give him the most amount of S's possible to read.
It seems that way, yeah.
Well, then there's an over-under going on in the control room.
Absolutely there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, this guy at one time was the sack leader all time in the NFL. You know, man's man. And then you see what he's reduced to on this show. It's like, you know what? A lot of toxic masculinity. Let's give him all the stuff to preview here, like NSYNC and things like that. I'm like, what is going on?
With just 87 shopping days until Christmas, the season kicking off this weekend. What deals the heavy hitters are lining up for?
Just let me take you to a better place.
We're all in a better place this morning with NSYNC's first song together in 23 years. Plus, who is in better celebrating National Coffee Day?
My God.
I don't care how much money they give you. Dude.
It really is the root of all evil, isn't it?
Very much so. Oh, wow.
I'm excited about NSYNC. Really? Are you?
After 23 years.
We used to get fired up to play football games, cranking NSYNC in the locker room.
And some song that sounds like it was recorded 23 years ago. Little poppy, little goofy, you know.
Be something on your workout playlist, Scott.
Yeah, of course it is. Yes.
Well, you like some of that stuff.
NSYNC. When have I ever said I liked NSYNC?
Okay, what was it? It wasn't New Edition. What was it? New Kids on the Block. Well, you saw him live in concert a lot.
Yeah, my daughter was 8.
Okay, got it. Yes.
God.
Much fun today. Oh, eight. Elizabeth Warren's got a line, and much more you got to hear coming up. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial. The Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins. Okay, you got breaking news here?
Well, yeah, I just saw this come across the wire that Las Vegas police have arrested a man on suspicion of murder in the 1996 killing of Tupac Shakur.
What? Really?
Yeah, I mean, we'll never know what really happened with the Mandalay Bay tragedy, but, you know, we got Tupac's killer. That's good.
Hmm. Yeah, I heard this over the last couple of years. They're still looking into this and more investigation. So... any other information coming out right now?
No. What we have is what I just told you.
Okay. So we don't know if it really was the East Coast, West Coast thing and all that?
No idea.
Okay. All right. Be looking for more on that later.
But Donald Trump has been indicted again in connection with the murder.
Right.
That was a joke.
Oh, yeah. That's back when a lot of the rap and hip-hop world loved Donald Trump. And he would be named in lyrics all the time.
Yeah, that's ended now. Yeah.
Well, it rhymed with pump and rump. It was easy.
Elizabeth Warren making news, David.
I know. I feel heartbroken because one of the worst people I know has made a great point. And it's Senator Elizabeth Warren.
This is 2 days in a row, David.
I know. Yeah, yesterday it was like, all right, fine. Senator Cucumber, John Fetterman, made a good point about, you know, we need to take land back from the Chinese interests that have bought up farmland in the United States. We need to get rid of that. And now today I'm going to be agreeing with Elizabeth Warren, and later I'm going to give my heartfelt review of the new NSYNC song. I feel terrible. No, but this is remarkable. So Joe Biden has nominated a guy named Dimitrios Kazoukas to serve as a trustee on the boards of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. He also happens to work for an outfit called Clover Health, which profits from Medicare Advantage. So essentially, he would be, if confirmed, one of the people in charge of reining in private companies that overcharge Medicare while also working for a company that profits off of, well, getting more money from Medicare.
So this is standard operating procedure. Somebody for energy secretary, let's get an activist.
Right.
Somebody for Homeland Security, let's get an activist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of foxes watching the hen house.
Absolutely.
With this. So Senator Elizabeth Warren said, hey, you going to quit that job?
Oh.
Senator, I appreciate the opportunity to address your question.
It's really easy. You can say yes or you can say no.
Senator, the role of the trustees of the Social Security...
Is that a yes or a no? Do you plan to quit the job for which you were paid $100,000 a year?
Senator, I'm grateful to the president and his team for the review of my credentials and qualifications.
I mean, really?
As well.
You know you're going to have to answer this question. Is it yes or no?
Senator, the review of my current activities and my credentials and qualifications is one that all nominees undergo, and that's one that led to the president putting my nomination before this body. I'm grateful for that. And if
Look, I'm not going to get into why the president nominated you.
Now, the other part to me that's a little interesting is, you know, there have been a lot of rumors about Joe Biden, whether or not he's going to be the nominee, what happens if he decides he's not going to stand for re-election, when would that happen, and what happens next?
Mm-hmm.
And I look across the board of potential Democrats who would love to be in the mix as to who will stand for election next year.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Warren would be one of them. Now here she is going after a nominee that her own party's president has put forth and openly saying, I'm not going to get into why the president may or may not have selected you for this position. Like, how much of this is genuine and how much of this is just trying to carve out a lane in case there is some sort of free-for-all at the Democrats' convention next summer?
That could be, man. You could be onto something there. I mean, my original thought was just sort of, here is another sign that the knives are coming out for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
That he's not going to make it. But yeah, I mean, she wants to be in that position. She always has.
Yeah.
Yeah, for her to push back on a Biden nominee, though, is really remarkable.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got other people out there. Like, I mean, Pete Buttigieg looks like he's gotten a fresh tan and he's been dropping some weight. It looks like he's getting ready to try to be out front and center for any sort of Democrat Party, you know, food fight that happens if Joe Biden decides he's not going to seek re-election. It does look like a lot of people smell blood in the water and they're trying to stake out a position as quickly as possible without doing it openly.
Well, yes. Well, I mean, Gavin Newsom's running.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he's out there basically campaigning and doing the thing with DeSantis and everything else, yeah. I think we could go through the bets later on, but betting that Biden's not going to make it all the way through is looking like a better and better bet all the time. Elizabeth Warren, man. She has no chance.
No.
And part of it is she still has to put up this charade that she's looking out for the just common man.
Yeah.
I'm going to get me a beer.
Oh, God.
That's one of your all-time favorites,
oh,
Scott.
It's just so...
In honor of her.
She's a regular beer drinker?
So pandering. God, at least if you're going to pander, do it well.
Yeah.
I mean, man.
That was consultant saying, you got to appear to be like a regular person.
Yeah, and has no idea what regular people do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, that part of the show, going around the table. It may not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. David, today, what's your story?
Well, one of the big stories of the day, of course, is longtime Senator Dianne Feinstein passed away at the age of 90. The Democrats have been wheeling her dying body around the Senate to try to make sure that she's casting the votes that she wants, that they want her to cast. And yesterday she cast a vote in D.C., went to her home in D.C., and died. But I want to say this. There was a clip that I remember we covered it when it happened, because this is when liberals really started going after Dianne Feinstein.
Right.
Or part of it.
Oh, and when there was the coordinated piece, it was,
yeah,
what, a year and a half ago, and you had all the staffers and the insiders saying she mentally can't do it. She doesn't know where, yeah, she is.
And some of the seeds of that were planted a few years ago, right after she had won re-election the last time, and some activists brought in a bunch of little kids, like middle school, maybe older elementary school, and one high schooler at least in this group, to urge her to vote for the Green New Deal, because we're all going to die in 10 years.
Right.
And this is one of my favorite moments from a politician ever, and here we go again. Dianne Feinstein tells these little brats to shut up, because they don't know anything about anything. And I want to appreciate this, okay? I don't have a lot of nice things to say about Dianne Feinstein, but the day that we hear about her passing, I'll play this because it is a great piece of audio, man.
Okay.
Some scientists have said that we have 12 years to turn this around.
Well, it's not going to get turned around in 10 years. What we can do,
Senator, if this doesn't get turned around in 10 years, you're looking at the faces of the people who are going to be living with these consequences.
The government is supposed to be for the people and by the people and all of the
people. You know what's interesting about this group is I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You come in here and you say it has to be my way or the highway. I don't respond to that. I've gotten elected. I just ran. I was elected by almost a million vote plurality. And I know what I'm doing. So, you know, maybe people should listen a little bit.
I hear what you're saying, but we're the people who voted you. You're supposed to listen to us. That's your job.
How old are you?
I'm 16. I can't
vote. You didn't vote for me.
Well,
you know better than I do. So I think one day you should run for the Senate.
Yes.
That is hilarious.
And while you're at it, eat your vegetables, do your homework, and get the hell off my lawn. You don't know anything about anything yet.
Need a little Hulk Hogan diplomacy there. Take your vitamins, eat your vegetables.
You don't understand, we pander to you people to get your vote? We have no intention of doing this unless we're going to enrich ourselves. Come on. And of course they did.
Little kids are like robots, aren't they? I mean, their parents just drill it into their little heads, and they just repeat the... Oh, I mean, it's shameful.
No, that's not true, because there were some of those kids when they were three. They just knew from the moment they existed that they were climate activists.
Yes. They cried a lot during high barometric pressure, and they realized that, yes.
Yes. And they knew they were the opposite sex.
Okay.
Of course. All right, Scott, what's your story?
The ratings are in, and the RNC debate was the most watched program Wednesday on cable TV, including streaming platforms. 9.5 million viewers tuned in to watch that.
Okay.
Now, that's a good number, but hang on. It's down 25% from the first RNC debate. So what do we attribute that to? Well, probably lack of competition on some of the cable networks. There was probably some curiosity there, but not as many people tuned in as the first one. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that you can't watch. This is unwatchable now.
I agree.
It's completely unwatchable, and it's like anything else on TV. You can't have too many characters.
Yes.
You know, any sitcom, any drama, whatever, there's people that come in and out, but you can't have too many because you can't follow it. And in this case, it's so annoying, it's unbelievable. So, down ratings-wise overall, but still won the night in cable TV.
Yeah, most people, I guess, feel like DeSantis won the debate for what that's worth. That used to mean something. Mm-hmm. And I guess it still could, but when you have the front runner 40, 50 points ahead, not there.
Mm-hmm.
And most people that I know are kind of like, what's the point? Yeah. I mean, you get a few ideas, but is it worth sitting through the whole thing?
Well, I think you got Home Improvement shows that'll be starting their new season very soon. And that'll probably cut into their ratings next time out.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah, it's not very good.
I saw this. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about owning language and language matters, right? Merriam-Webster has 690 new words.
Let's go.
A few highlights. And you can just let me know if you already know what this word is and what it means or not. But you ready? Girl boss.
I would imagine that is a female in charge.
Yeah, an ambitious and successful businesswoman or entrepreneur. Yeah.
Yeah.
Riz.
Riz?
Yep. R-I-Z-Z.
David?
I don't know Riz. No.
I only know Riz from my kids.
Okay.
It's just romantic appeal or charm. Short for charisma. Got some Riz.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, as far as initials that are used a lot in texts, TFW?
That feeling when.
Nice, Dave.
Nice going.
NGL.
Not gonna lie.
Again, nice. Robbins is in awe of you right now. I can see it in his eyes. Right. UAP.
It's a union, right?
Yeah. Unidentified aerial phenomena.
Correct, David. Okay. Well, they unionized those aliens.
Yeah, right.
Part of the UAP union.
You're way ahead of your time, Scott.
United Alien People.
How about Thirst Trap? New in the dictionary.
Thirst Trap.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that a bar?
No, that's where somebody will post a picture that is supposed to be innocent, but is perhaps a little revealing and maybe is designed to get a certain reaction from a member of the opposite sex.
Yes.
Thirst Trap.
Yeah. Like video or photo shared to attract attention or desire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grammable.
You can post it on Instagram.
Yes, very
good. Okay, that one.
Doom scroll. You like to participate in this, Scott.
Doom scroll.
Yeah.
When you scroll on things you know are going to irritate you or piss you off or something.
Feel sad, anxious, or angry.
Yeah, I've done that, yeah.
Daily, right?
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah.
You could say that's what we do for the show in preparation in some ways.
Yeah.
Yes. David, it's a glorious day for you because it's actually in the dictionary now. One of your all-time favorite terms.
What's that?
Beast mode, baby.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
That's gonna beast up.
Really? Yeah, man. Rise and grind. It's time to go beast mode, all right?
David used to know a guy that was very much into beast mode. Mm-hmm. Way years ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. Yes, no doubt. And then kayfabe. Anybody?
Kayfabe?
Oh, kayfabe.
I remember hearing that a while back, and now I can't remember.
I guess
it
dates back to the 80s. It's the unspoken agreement between professional wrestlers and fans to pretend it's all real.
Mm.
I'd never heard the term
before. I don't know how that makes sense, but okay. Kayfabe.
Like, we all know it's fake, but just for the sake of it all, could you just pretend it's real? Still real to me, damn it!
Got it.
Like that guy, wrestling guy. That classic. Okay, much more to get to. The Washington Post doesn't want us to use Chinese Communist Party anymore because China owns them. We'll get to it. Yeah. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins.
Why do you call it the China virus?
Remember that reporter asking Trump that?
Oh, yeah.
Because it comes from China.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
I guess you can't say that. Remember, that was xenophobic.
Yeah.
What is this story with the Washington Post?
No, Washington Post writer Philip Bump is really mad that Republicans associate the Chinese Communist Party with bad things. Crazy. The piece is called The Rise of Chinese Communist Party as a Pejorative.
God.
Analysis of closed captioning collected by the Internet Archive show that the use of Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, has been far more common on Fox News and Fox Business than on CNN and MSNBC. Boy.
Well, yeah.
China.
Yeah, well, I mean,
China has great influence over those networks.
But
just like your paper.
Right. Could it have something to do with, I don't know, a connection to the fact that CNN literally ran a Chinese Communist Party propaganda piece about the Chinese Navy being more prepared to handle the coronavirus than the U.S. Navy?
Yeah,
they copy
right.
and paste.
China.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. But there's a clear point at which these references became more common. The start of the coronavirus pandemic in early 2020. Well, that's a bunch of BS. That's something that the voices in his head told him. Because a lot of people have been talking about the Chinese Communist Party for years.
Decades.
I mean...
Yes. Yeah.
China.
Says that, well, there was a reason, you see. President Trump wanted to blame China and those leaders for the spread of the pandemic. Well, they were to
they
blame.
They did.
Just, I know. They want to blame them for it.
Yeah. It was their fault.
It happened there. And then they tried to make up this lie of pangolin or whatever. No, it was in the lab.
No.
Follow the evidence, you hack. My goodness.
China.
What a joke. This is the Mark and Van Camp and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, the impeachment inquiry is a setup. That's what some Democrats are claiming. Setup for what?
Yeah, well, Democrat Representative Jamie Raskin claims to have Republican colleagues telling him that there's some dark conspiracy happening with his impeachment inquiry, because they know the more they pull, the more Republicans actually pull on the threads with new subpoena power, with a more focused investigation that's all under one roof, which is the purpose of the impeachment inquiry to begin with, they know that they're hosed. But they've got to try to run out the clock as much as possible with all of this.
Yes.
So they're just throwing every possible thing out there to try to distract and confuse the American public.
Knowing that the media will carry the water for them.
Yeah, of course. So Jamie Raskin, you know, shows up on CNN last night, and, well, here's what the voices in his head are telling him.
Okay.
I know that there was a lot of consternation and alarm on the Republican side to see how weak the case was.
You heard that from Republicans?
Oh, directly on the floor, in fact.
Like what?
Several Republicans were saying to me that the right wing is now saying that Kevin McCarthy actually set it up to be a failure because he didn't want to proceed with impeachment. They couldn't believe that such a disaster would just happen by accident. I think that attributes a lot more organization.
Do you really think that's the strategy behind
Kevin. No, I don't.
Okay.
But what I mean is that it is now taken for granted over there that their impeachment inquiry is going nowhere and that they don't have any evidence after 9 months of this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Unlike your fantasy world where you can just use words and in your head believe things to be true that aren't, the reality is there's a lot of evidence. The media won't tell the American people that, but anyone that's paying attention already knows it. Think about this for a second. When you're talking to people that have a clue of what's going on in the world and in the United States, it's like already a foregone conclusion that the whole Biden family, including Joe, of course, profited off this scheme. Is there any question in your mind that, well, maybe Joe actually didn't get any of the money? Well, no, it's all there.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly, do you know anybody that follows news? I mean, all parts of news that isn't already convinced that this is a done deal?
No, I think if you followed everything with it or even most of it, you know that it's actually unbelievable that Joe Biden would not have been aware of this and would not have been getting money off of his son's business deals. And
he
whatnot.
Got the prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
Yeah.
He held him hostage with $1 billion.
Well, And then, you know, why is it that it just so happened that every place that Hunter was getting a job while Joe was vice president, Joe said, hey, I'd like to have some influence on policy in that area. Are they going to eventually what they're going to do is they're going to say that he was just trying to be a good father because he wanted to be able to keep an eye on his son to make sure he wasn't being taken advantage of by these people.
Well, he's profiting off of it.
Right.
Okay.
I like this because
and you got all the LLCs and all this money going to all the Biden family members. Okay.
When they were trying to impeach, how many times did they impeach Trump on the hard evidence they had?
He made a phone call to Ukraine. Waiting to get dirt on Joe Biden.
Impeach
him. And he was right.
Impeach him. That's crazy.
You know, yesterday we were talking about all the different retailers closing stores, especially in major American cities because of the crime issue. And the coordinated retail theft, the smash and grabs.
Mm-hmm.
So, couldn't believe it. Saw this piece. Was it Hot Air? Mentioning the Target in East Harlem. They're closing down. People are very upset. Because there's going to be a desert there now. Because this is the one place where, you know, reasonably priced stuff, you could go in. And it says in the piece, where are the people going to go now? They would have to go to the Bronx. In this tight-knit community of Black and Latino families, where specialized mom-and-pop stores and street vendors line the avenues, Target represents values and convenience for general merchandise at an affordable price. All for people on a fixed income, and all within walking distance from home.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Why is Target closing? So basically, you know, the part of this, they're saying it's because of racism. Oh, that's why they're closing.
I knew they were going to go there. I just knew it. Yeah. Well, nothing to do with theft.
I would ask about all those bodegas and, you know, corner stores, mom and pop places. Why aren't they being, you know, pressured to lower their prices to be more in line with what shoppers expected at Target?
It's a good question. Because, again, man, you got liberal media out there saying this doesn't make any sense. Target lays out how much money they've lost because of retail theft. Well, this Target, they had already locked everything up. They got residents saying, so why? This is just corporate BS. They just don't want to be open here, like something they have against people of color. They're a business. What are they supposed to do?
See where this is going. I mean, it's already going in some cities. They're going to have city-run or state-run grocery stores. And before long, you're going to have other retail outlets that are going to be run by the state or run by the government, federal government.
Man, oh man.
I mean, this is socialism. This is the slow creep. This is getting.
Well, it's here.
They're going to get the government involved in buying retail locations and running them themselves, where it doesn't matter how much is stolen. Doesn't matter because you're not accountable to anyone other than the taxpayers. Well, they'll smoke that one up. You know, I mean,
they need
matter.
To be in business to keep open to let people go in and go five finger discount as
right.
much as they
exactly.
want.
Exactly.
And. That's reparations.
And the government will set the prices so they're not too high. They'll lose money, of course, because they never make money. But it won't matter.
And I'm not one to be sticking up for Target.
No, me either, but I understand what you're saying.
All that trans crap, they're already having a terrible year.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of that. Move on. Joe Biden says everywhere he goes, people ask what?
If everything's going to be okay. Joe Biden gave a speech on the state of democracy yesterday and says all the world leaders he talks to, they're worried about America collapsing.
Everywhere I go in the world, and I've met now with over 100 heads of state of the nations of the world, everywhere I go, they look and they ask the question, is it going to be okay?
Yeah, they come to you, Joe, as they're laughing because you can't get a sentence out. Is it going to be okay, Uncle Joe?
Yeah, I actually think he just misunderstood. Because all the world leaders probably do ask, are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
And he thinks, oh, they're talking about America, of course, right. because he's senile. But really, it's because they realize that he just, you know, crapped himself and he can't get a sentence out. And he fell going upstairs again.
Nobody asked him that. Nobody did.
Well, we were also supposed to believe that after he got the presidency, all the world leaders were telling him, thank goodness, because we were so afraid. We know the world's in good hands now. Remember that line of crap?
Yeah.
But now they're worried. What happened?
This is the old people are saying, or everyone is saying. There's no receipts behind it. Just throw it out there.
I mean, all
world
of a sudden,
leaders
what
are
is
asking
it?
Me if it's going to be okay.
You know,
true international average of pressure.
Right,
based on what your performance or the Orange Man may come back.
We just don't know.
Democracy, we know it is going.
I don't know.
Open his governor, and when he be pre-K, the pre-care
man, pre-care yeah. burger.
Yep.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
He was speaking a different language there. He said, yes. It's all going to be all right. Chill them, you know, female dogs out. Joe's on this. You just tell them.
Yep.
It's all going to be fine.
No one, not the history books will note it.
Trust me. Okay. ABC News has a story. David, what's this?
Well, you know, you got the government shut down potentially coming up this weekend, and everybody's panicked about it. ABC News had the, there was dazzling coverage, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Of this. They wrote, during a shutdown, many agencies, such as the National Park Service, are also not permitted to update websites and social media pages. That means the viral Park Service social media promotions of Fat Bear Week would halt.
What? Did you know it was Fat Bear Week, Scott?
No.
I didn't either.
Terrible.
That is awful. What are we going to do?
That's discrimination.
I just can't. Every time I hear about government shutdown now, is that clip we had the other day of Texas Republican Chip Roy saying, you know what they're going to do? They're going to start talking about, you know, military families and all this. In every report, it's the same thing. Like legacy media ever cares about military families until they can use it to their advantage. To point out, they're not going to get paid. It's maybe delayed. But again, and just for clarification, as far as the, quote, hardline Republicans and the stance of you have to close the border, you got to secure it or we have no deal. Do you think that's smart? Am I missing something?
I think it can be. You know, they just have to be a little more organized about getting that message out because you know that media is going to demonize you no matter what. But
yes.
So you've got to be out there every single day just pounding that message that this is what we want. You have to shut down the border. We want you to temporarily suspend the asylum process while we get a handle on things because this is not sustainable.
You ever wonder if the leadership with McCarthy, they really don't want to put that message out there? Like, we're going to shut it down unless you close the border. Because there's so much influence from corporations and a ton of money going into those Republicans. And those organizations want the illegal immigration because they need the workforce.
You know how they spend this, though. Even though the borders are closed, the Republicans are withholding money. You know, it would be that. That's what they would do. They'd spin it that way. I guarantee it.
I think so many people in the country just want a politician to do what's best for the people they represent. I know that sounds like some back in my day, old man's dream. But you would really want people to do that. If you really want to stop what's happening at the border, and it's awful for everyone involved, you just stick to it. No, shut the whole thing down until you secure the border, or we got no deal. I don't know if it'll happen that way, but it seems smart to me. I don't know. What do I know? Just a jamoke. You know. And I'm not getting $1 million from some corporation either.
No, although I'd like some. I'll go ahead. Yeah.
And then you'd say, we need to do something about the border, but pass the bill.
Right, exactly.
All right. Yeah. News update straight ahead. All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Did you guys hear Vivek Ramaswamy got fact-checked in real time during the debate the other night?
About what?
Transgenderism and kids.
Oh, God.
Oh, I have to be very clear about this.
There you go.
I have to be very clear about this. Transgenderism, especially in kids, is a mental health disorder. We have to acknowledge the truth of that for what it is. And I'm sorry, it is not compassionate to affirm a kid's confusion. That is not compassion, that is cruelty. So I will ban genital mutilation or chemical castration.
Okay, the failing New York Times. Whoa. This is false.
False?
Yeah.
It's an opinion.
Being transgender is not a mental health disorder. Many transgender people experience gender dysphoria or psychological distress as a result of the incongruence between their sex and their gender identity. Gender dysphoria is a diagnosis in the Psychiatric Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders and can be given to children, adolescents, or adults.
So that's
what they said.
That's a long way of saying, yeah, it's a mental health disorder. Of course it is.
What, didn't they just prove that by what they said?
Yes. Well, it was listed as a mental health disorder by the American Psychiatric Association until 2013. Then reclassified it as gender dysphoria to remove the stigma.
Okay.
So it's all part of the language.
Yeah, you know, I never really understood that part. Well, other than this, when the left or Marxist ideology starts losing an argument, they just change the language. That's absolutely their biggest MO. Whenever they get caught having terrible ideas, they just change words.
Correct.
But with the whole destigmatizing mental illness, which I'm a fan of. You're not a bad person just because you are struggling with some sort of mental illness. You're not. I think that's okay to openly have conversations about mental illness.
You gonna pile on here, Scott? Go ahead. I know you want to.
No, I'm not gonna pile on.
Well, like, okay. I think it's okay to talk about how Jamie is mentally ill. And
hey, I'll take that from Robbins. It's a hard time.
No, I'm trying to not to pile on. David said what he said. Mm-hmm.
You're the one that always says it because of the ADD thing.
Well, no,
thing.
But you are mentally ill, but that's okay. I don't,
real.
Listen, I don't want to be that guy. I mean, you're medicated, and that's the only thing that matters.
But
you live a normal life.
In order,
I mean, once you're off the meds, it's Mike Tysonville, but hey.
But as we are supposed to be destigmatizing mental illness, those same people treat calling one particular type of mental illness a mental illness. They say that's stigmatizing. So we're not going to call it a mental illness anymore. So which is it? Is it okay to talk about mental illness or not?
That's a great question. The other thing that always confuses me is when you're talking about gender dysphoria.
Uh-huh.
Why is that the only dysphoria that's treated the way gender dysphoria is? That you buy into playing pretend into the dysphoria.
Yeah.
Every other dysphoria is treated differently.
Well,
yes.
I do want to say my 2-year-old son now identifies as a police car. True story. Yeah. Says he's a police car. I'm getting him fitted with a siren and lights this weekend. I am police car affirming care positive. Okay.
Surgically. Oh, he can't wait to pull over single black men. You know that's next.
Gonna have the light surgically put on the top of his head.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, you know what? That reminded me. You're talking about, you live a normal life, but you're mentally ill is what you say, Scott.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do. Okay, you do the best you can. Nothing wrong with that.
I saw this piece that's going around online of the pettiest reason you broke up with someone. And a woman broke up with a dude that had allergies because she thought he was weak.
Golly.
Thought it was a sign of weakness.
Yeah. Well, she did you a favor, buddy.
Can you think of the pettiest reason you broke up with someone? The thing, I think, it's not really like a grade school thing. You know, it's my girlfriend. You're like in fourth or fifth grade. I'm walking this girl home, and she has these shoes on. I didn't know it at the time. She would, like, scuff the sidewalk with the shoes. I thought she was farting. I thought she had a bad case, so it was kind of like,
oh, no.
Burt. And I'm like, oh. And the next day, I'm like, yeah, tell her I broke up with her. Why? I don't want to talk about it. Michelle Brubaker, if you're out there, boy, I'm really sorry. Okay. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Well, dude, I was kind of grossed out by it until I understood, oh, that was it. Well, but then I figured out it's just over anyway.
It reminded me of the Seinfeld episode where he breaks up with a girl because she eats her peas one at a time.
Biggest story today, David?
Biggest story today. There are a few things popping. One is the Democrats' desperate spin away from the impeachment inquiry. The other, of course, is the ongoing invasion that we have at the southern border. Also, Dianne Feinstein, 90-year-old senator from California, has died. They let her die on the job. Instead of being at home surrounded by friends and family in California, she cast a yay vote and then Yoda'd out.
Wow. All right, updates on that. And another petty reason somebody broke up with someone is hilarious. I got to share this with you coming up. All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial. The Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins. Did you have a news update you wanted to get to, David?
Just so you know, people will freeze to death if there's a temporary government shutdown. I don't know if
freeze
you knew that.
Freeze to death?
Yeah. This comes to us courtesy of a conversation on Capitol Hill in the House of Representatives as Democrats and Republicans are going back and forth over a spending bill. And, well, there are some hardline bad Republicans who think that, you know, maybe stopping the invasion at our southern border, I don't know, might be something that we should prioritize right now.
Yes, I agree.
Rosa DeLauro, a Democrat out of the great state of Connecticut, went after a representative from South Dakota, talking about how people in South Dakota in particular are going to die if the government shuts down.
It gets cold in the wintertime in South Dakota, but the gentleman is happy to see 24,000 individuals not get energy assistance, low-income heating assistance. So then maybe we're taking up a collection of hats and coats and gloves, etc., because they're not going to get their LIHEAP benefits in a cold climate.
Dude, I mean, if we need to do a hat and coat drive for the people of South Dakota, I'll do that if you stop the, you know, invasion of the southern border.
Yeah, just stop that.
I'll do that. Now, her name...
I'm sorry, man, I'm taken back. This is Connecticut.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm stereotyping, I admit it. But I'm thinking, okay, a congressperson from Connecticut can certainly read. What's that person's problem? They just get lost in that? Were they just freewheeling?
Now, Rosa DeLauro, her name rang a bell. And okay. So I searched my archive. And she was the lady who was going on about crash test dummy equity.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
remember that. I have the audio clip if you want to hear
yes,
it.
No, oh, please. My God.
You also plan to make important investments to address the roadway safety crisis, including the critical funding that would accelerate the development. And this is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing. This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
Yeah.
Honestly, we got so many people running the country that you wouldn't hire for your business. It's amazing. Like, get that dope out of here.
It is.
There's no way you'd hire her.
We're so screwed.
It is absolutely critical to fund research into crash test dummies with breasts. But, I don't know, funding by the halting of an invasion at our southern border? No, right. We don't need that.
Yes. What's admitted to be a humanitarian crisis, okay? The border's secure, yet we have a humanitarian crisis. That's what we're to believe if you listen to these dopes. Ayanna Pressley?
Yeah. Well, yeah, she was on CNN being interviewed by Jake Tapper, and even Jake is like, hey, you know, this is, you can at least agree that the border is not secure right now.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Our border is secure, and
what?
We're in the midst of a humanitarian crisis, and we have to fix a broken system.
Wait,
and
it
we
is, also, you think it is secure? You think the border is secure, or it is not secure?
I believe that we are in the midst of a humanitarian crisis, and there needs to be federal investment. And it's the consequence
come
of
on,
a number
Jake.
Of longstanding broken
come on, Jake.
Policies.
Sure, I don't disagree with you, this being a humanitarian crisis at all. But just to get some clarity on this, and sure, that's a conversation for another day. But do you think that the border is secure? Is that what you said?
Yes, the border is secure, and we are in the midst of a humanitarian crisis
Jake.
That has been
Step
created
in, Jake.
By a broken system.
But if you have millions of undocumented migrants coming into the country, how is the border secure?
Jake, this is not a new crisis. It is a humanitarian crisis.
Jake,
we should treat it as such.
Come on, man.
But it just seems like just such a refusal to acknowledge reality, just to say that the border is secure when we all know millions of people are crossing the border illegally every year.
Jake, and that is a consequence of a number of things. We have climate refugees, people
just
that have been disabled.
What you're saying is nonsense.
It's just
grow a pair, dude.
By extreme weather events.
Sure.
We have people that are violence and corruption.
Yep. The reason people are coming here because of weather events, Jake?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. And so we just have to acknowledge why someone would leave their native country.
But would you grant me the point that the border is not secure?
Jake, that is a conversation for another day.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Seriously, you need a mental test for that person that cannot say that the border's not secure when we have the problem
they
we have.
Just
you can't serve.
Can't. And
you
they
can't.
Refuse to say it. They just refuse. Mayorkas lies about it.
Of course.
They all lie about it.
Yes.
It's just one. And the thing is, it's so provable. It's so provable. This isn't conjecture. This isn't an opinion. This isn't an untested theory. It's happening.
I'm sorry that your freakouts make me laugh.
God.
It's been this way for years.
I got up like that this morning.
It's never going to stop.
I'm like, what is going on? What's wrong with these?
I couldn't believe
it. Why
are
we accepting that from these people? Why is this country
Jake should have said, listen. You're a hack.
Okay? Stop lying.
You can't ever come on this network again because we can't have this in this country.
No, we can't. This has to stop. And it has to stop from Mayorkas and his ilk, too. He needs
get
the border
Jake into
is
a
secure.
Low T test, something, help that guy out. Golly.
But Mayorkas said that, what, 3 months ago? The border is secure.
I know.
I mean,
put a dog collar on him.
There's
the old shocker. All right.
Again, we can have a conversation
now
about whether aliens are actually here or not.
I'm gonna
we
move
can
on.
Have we don't know
on.
For sure.
You're going to get me ramped up.
Then
I'm going to go off to. I know it's frustrating. Diane Feinstein, dead.
That's what I heard.
Switching gears.
Yeah.
That'll usually do it when you mention somebody died.
Yeah, somebody died.
She did cast that vote though. They got her in there to cast the vote and then gone. That's really something, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is how evil this entire business really is. Is that
that close to death?
Yeah.
Can we get a vote out of her?
You're on your
You think that's
bed.
Possible yet? Ugh. You know? You got the AC/DC rolling? Hey, maybe a little time with family. Ah, no, I think she can cast the vote. Let's get her in there. Yep. Thank you.
God.
Appreciate your service, Diane. Rest in peace. See you later. Okay, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the knives were out for her a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll see what happens. We have our different theories of what might happen.
Well, didn't Newsom say he would replace the seat with a black female?
Well, I think he's being pressured to do that. He did say there would be a placeholder because I think the implication is that he didn't want somebody who's currently running for that seat to be appointed. Because that he didn't want to interfere in the primary, he didn't want to interfere in the election or anything like that. And also, well, the couple of the top contenders he doesn't like very much. So there's a chance to screw somebody over, he'll take it.
And I still wonder if there's anything to the theory that he puts Kamala Harris in there to get rid of the old White House problem.
No,
you're not buying it. David,
I don't.
But I'm
buy
thinking
it.
It's possible.
No.
I think that would be a step down for her, and she's not going to do that. Her ego would never let her.
Not to go off on a tangent, because we got a couple other things to get to. We keep hearing from Democrats, we got to replace whoever with a black female. Are black females right now underrepresented in Congress? I'm just asking the question.
I don't
know what the answer to that is.
In the Senate,
we'll crunch
guess,
the numbers. Yeah. If I had to bet right now, I would say no.
Well, I don't know.
We'll crunch them.
If you're looking at the Senate in particular, probably then.
Yeah. I just mean overall. We have to have it.
Yeah.
Congressional members.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway. Okay, Des Moines Register talking about Diane Feinstein, of course.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I know that newsrooms all over the country are shells of themselves right now.
Yes.
But they can't even do a Wikipedia search. Des Moines Register said that that Diane Feinstein was the first female senator.
Nope, that's not true.
She wasn't. I mean, like, the first female senator was appointed, like, what, in 1922 or something like that, when Diane Feinstein was 60.
Well, from your background in news, you know what it's like these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one there. except for either interns or people fresh out of school.
Yeah.
That can't find a whole lot. Just total rookies on the gig and like, well, whatever. Because, yeah, that whole business is absolutely decimated. Okay. Oh, dude, I got an update on something. Talked about this book that came out, The Two-Parent Privilege, written by someone, a woman that says she's moderate. Some would say she's left, Melissa Kearney. The backlash to this has been actually hilarious from the left. So it's controversial because some feminists are deeply suspicious of the idea that kids that grow up with two parents, you know, statistically, you see how the benefit is great in all of these different areas. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can say, well, that doesn't seem right. Well, it's just the reality. And that doesn't mean that every two-parent household is perfect. Of course not. But you're just following the statistics. Okay. CNN has a piece that actually, it seems, would agree with it. Because in this piece, was it Jill Filipovic, says, okay, the data is robustly supported, demonstrating that this family formation has all these benefits. But the problem here, more than anything else, is that conservatives are to blame for the decline of marriage.
What?
Yes. Saying that most people want to get married. The problem is that for decades, largely conservative policymaking have fueled inequality, gutted the working class, and left a generation of men isolated and underemployed and impoverishing families and making it harder for women to both control their own fertility and find suitable partners. It is an example of no matter what happens, you get everything you want with your policies and you see the destruction and you still try to find a way to blame the other side.
Yeah, that's brainworms right there. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, it's
conservatives that have taken away the masculinity of men.
Is the point men aren't successful enough or don't make enough money to attract a woman? Is that what they're saying?
Partly, yes.
Or that they've been emasculated some?
Yes. Because of the policies of taking away equality and gutting the working class. That's conservatives' fault.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, that's like having five different conversations with the voices in your head all at once, isn't it? I can't make heads or tails of that. You want to have a conversation about globalization and outsourcing of jobs. Conservatives have a lot of blood on their hands with that. There's no question about it.
Yep.
But there is one party right now or one political ideology right now that is saying that, it's actually a good thing if boys become girls and that, well, men shouldn't act like men because that's toxic.
Right.
Oh, and if it's not the right time for you to start a family, kill the kid. Conservatives.
They're
out
all about
there
that too. Oh, I know.
Well, okay. And aren't we to believe that also the ideology is women don't need men anyway?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, they don't need you. I mean, they don't need you for your income.
They don't need kids.
What the hell, Matt? What would it matter if they're making less money now and they're less attractive that way? What is that saying about women too? By the way, they just want guys who make a lot of dough. Really?
Women are miserable right now. And looking for someone to blame. I mean, that's part of it. Some are honest enough to say it.
Yeah, be 10 minutes on social media, you'll see the misery. Duffel bags full of it.
By the way, I mentioned this earlier. There was something else. This thing that's going around talking about the pettiest reason you ever broke up with somebody. I thought of you, Scott.
Really? Okay.
So my cat said hello to her, and she didn't say hi back.
Oh, yeah. Well,
cat said hello to a date, and she didn't say hi
back. If my cat says hello to a date, I'm going to make a lot of money with that cat traveling around the country.
One dude also said he had a first date with a woman who said, excuse me, I have to go tinkles. And he said that was it. He couldn't take the terminology.
See, that's a red flag, tinkles.
Yeah, with the deal breaker, right?
I got to go tinkles.
It's like your second date is going to be at her cousin's wedding. What? Yeah. But she's not going to tell you ahead of time.
No.
I wonder what she says when she got to go number two. Anyway.
I got to go poo-poo.
Oh, boy. News update. Oh, and our Friday Five's coming up right here.
All right.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. A lot of talk in national media about the fear of a government shutdown. You got that going on. Looks like that controversy with Ibram X. Kendi, Henry Rogers at Boston University. Well, white liberals got what they wanted. And poor Henry Rogers got caught up in it. That's part of what we're to believe now, as far as the freeling New York Times. Okay, maybe we'll have time to get into that a little bit later. Two things real quick. Police did a welfare check on Britney Spears. David, knew you'd want to know that.
No, she was playing with knives, and, I mean, she is unhinged and should never have been let out of that conservatorship.
I saw some of that video. Holy cow.
Did you see the side-by-side of that? It's got the theme song to Halloween, and there's a guy wearing a Michael Myers mask mimicking the dance perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Who does that? I mean, you're kooky.
I've said before, okay, none of us know her. I don't want to see anything bad happen to her. The whole thing is just kind of sad.
It is.
But you see the people freaking out over every little thing with Britney Spears. Like, you have that much time in your life? Really?
No, no, man.
Okay. And then the reason for our Friday Five today was something that made a lot of news, David.
Well, yeah. I mean, apparently we have another crisis happening in our nation's capital, and that is that China wants its panda bears back.
It's what we've heard.
Including the babies that were born here. The Chinese don't believe in anchor babies.
Yeah.
So
in honor of that, David said, why don't we do the greatest list of songs with a zoo animal in the title?
A zoo animal?
Yes. So not just pandas, Scott. Think of other zoo animals. Could be a camel. Yeah. Could be a tiger. Could be a lot of different things. Think about it for a second. Greatest songs of all time with a zoo animal in the title. If you want to get in early, the number 1-888-485-MVCR. And we'll kick it off next.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins, thank you for being here. It's Friday. That means the Friday Five, our big countdown. Something like this.
The countdown is on.
You know what this means?
It's our favorite time of the week.
Anybody wants to get mellow, you can get the f*** out of here, all right?
The Friday Five.
It will test your head and your mind and your brain.
On the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Countdown, Friday 5. Why are we doing zoo animals again, David?
Well, because the Chinese government wants its panda bears back. It lent some pandas to the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., and they want their pandas back.
Oh. This is a total disaster.
Kung Fu Panda not happy.
And apparently this is a national nightmare. This is terrible, awful, whatever.
Yes.
I love Kung Fu Panda.
I do, too.
I do.
The number is 1-888-485-MVCR. As always, we take a song and say, how big a hit or how iconic was it? Go, how much does it stand the test of time? And then how much do you personally like it? And put it all together. Since we're doing the countdown based on the story on pandas, the song Panda from Designer is honorary. What, you don't know this, Scott?
No.
Oh, this was a big one in like 2016.
It was?
I only know this because helping coach a 12U baseball team, I have heard this more than any human should ever have to hear it. Yeah, that was like a one-hit wonder thing at the time.
Wow.
Whew. Okay.
You know, I should have stayed in top 40 a little bit longer.
Yeah. Because you could have been doing your morning zoo show. Scott Robbins bringing you Designer with Panda.
Panda, 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 Panda. I got broads in Atlanta.
Yeah, I could say it's not a zoo, but it smells like one. Hey!
Hey-o!
It's 18 minutes past 8.
Who's up first today, David?
Let's talk to Joey in Salem. Hey, Joey.
Hey, happy Friday, fellas.
Joey, happy Friday to you, bro.
How you guys doing?
Good. Great, man. What's up?
This is a pretty good category you guys have this week.
Thanks.
And I'm going to have to go with Survivor's Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Joey, you're going to have a great weekend.
Yep.
I can tell you.
Number one.
You want to feel old, Scott?
Yeah.
This was out 5 years before Van Camp was born.
Golly.
I remember going to see the movie in the theater.
What movie?
See? Rocky III. Clubber Lang.
What? You just said a bunch of words I don't understand.
Which I understand.
What year was this out? 84? 83?
Usually I get these right. I was thinking that's 82.
It might be 82. I don't know. It was before Jimmy Jameson was the singer. Okay. Whoever that Survivor. Guy was. Because that guy ended up doing like car lot jingles and for toaster pastries and stuff like that.
But it was the breakout song.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seemed to go away for a while, and then it came back
years later.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. That is a test of time or big hit. There you go. There's your number one.
I still hear the jiggy, 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 jiggy in my head, the intro to that song.
Like daily? Or
no. Well,
what do you mean?
Well, right when I'm trying to bite my own face. Yeah, right around that time.
You're feeling stressed out. You start smelling toast. And yeah,
there you go.
And the jingle for Survivor, Eye of the Tiger.
Jiggy, 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 jiggy. All right, who's next?
Let's talk to Mark in Portland. Hey, Mark.
Hey, happy Friday, gentlemen. Been a good week.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Hey, wanted to throw out the, I think it's a one-hit wonder, the Tokens with The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Oh, yeah. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion
sleeps tonight. In the
This has been used for comedic effect in so many movies.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious. Just fun.
I have a fifth grade teacher. We were studying Africa, who put this thing on nonstop play for like, seriously, for like 45 minutes of the class. It just played and played and played and played.
Oh.
Over and over and over again.
Because you were studying Africa.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we had that going on in the background.
That's fantastic.
That was a day from hell, man.
All right, who's next? Thank you for that story.
You're welcome.
The educational value of the tokens.
Yes, of the tokens.
When studying the continent of Africa. All right. Let's talk to Greg. We got Greg in Portland. Hey, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Greg. Hey, Greg. Good morning. Well, afternoon, wherever you are.
I woke up this morning so happy because I thought I was going to hear some Sarah McLachlan for Dianne Feinstein. You guys didn't get that.
Oh man.
We got to work on that one.
Usually, David is thinking Sarah McLachlan when there's a loss. There's no doubt about that.
I already put that together, and it was actually part of a PSA about how we need to save octogenarian and elderly and dying Congress critters. Like Dianne Feinstein, drooping eye and whatnot, out through a dog crate.
Wow! Holy smokes! There, better late than never. Yes, Greg.
Before I get to my song, who do you guys got dying next?
Oh, you're talking about the trifecta?
Deadpool?
Scott usually plays this game.
Oh, man.
I bet there's betting odds on that. I'll look it up here.
I know there are. Yeah.
I'm not testing that.
Let's go with, for Monica, let's go Brass Monkey. I don't think by the Beastie Boys, I don't think this is a zoo animal they're talking about, but let's do the Brass Monkey.
Did you play this at Top 40?
No.
This was like almost without a format, but it was huge.
Yeah.
And then it,
I guess they got MTV.
Went away forever.
Yeah, then came back.
Only played one Beastie song.
Fight for Your Right.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Okay, songs with a zoo animal in the title. is the Friday Five. Eye of the Tiger from Survivor number one. Who's next, David?
Let's talk to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Appreciate the show. I'm going with Crocodile Rock by Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're still going Beaches.
Number four.
When I was a kid, I had one of those K-Tel albums.
Yeah.
And this was one of them. And then I ended up getting the Elton John greatest hits. As a kid.
Yeah. Sold about 8 gazillion copies.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Okay, so I do like this song. There's one part I wish wasn't there.
Yep.
And that part ruins it for you, Dave.
It does. And I, well, that and the little...
Yeah. Imagine if you put guitars there.
Yeah, it would be good.
Yeah.
And that 50s vibe to it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like it like that.
Well, I like. I mean, I don't. It's not anything from Elton I reach for. I reach for some Elton John, but that's not one of them. No.
Oh, I just had an Elton John song come on yesterday, like one of those playlists that you have. Like, it's metal. It's
8,000 songs. Yeah.
Yes, it's and it was Somebody Saved My Life Tonight. That's a great song, man. Yeah. Really is. Okay, who's next?
True story, by the way. That song.
No.
I'll get to that later.
Let's talk to Sue in Las Vegas.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Sue. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. Great. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, here we go. Elvis,
okay.
Teddy Bear.
Oh, good call. We were talking about Elvis for a while yesterday. Baby, let me be your love, Teddy Bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Let me be your Teddy Bear. I love it. I don't it's interesting because as a millennial, David, you're thinking Test of Time on this isn't like some of the other big Elvis songs.
No, I don't think Test of Time is very good.
Yeah. What do you think, Scott?
The Test of Time wasn't great, no.
Okay. It should be.
My parents had this record, though. I heard it a lot.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Great memories with that. Okay, who's next?
Let's talk to Eileen in Wisconsin.
Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. What you thinking? Song with a zoo animal, Eileen.
Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Okay. How long you been listening to Duran Duran?
Well, I won't tell you how old I am.
But it was one of your favorite bands at some point in time, right?
At some point in time, yes.
Because every girl I think I knew at a certain point in time in the 80s, Duran Duran was their favorite band. It just was.
Number two.
Good job, Eileen. There's posters all over the world, all over the place. Phenomenal. You were in top 40. You played all this stuff.
Oh, all of it, yeah.
Didn't they, like, break records from the Beatles and stuff like that at that time?
Insanity. They had like three or four records at the same time on the top 40. I mean, it was nuts.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. Do you think this song would be a hit today?
No.
Lyrically?
Nobody's going to play it. Who's going to play it?
I mean, not sonically.
Oh.
I'm just saying lyrically. Because now I think people would say it's a little stalkerish, you know.
Well, that is true. He's on the hunt. He's after her. Well,
stalked in the forest, too close to hide.
Yeah.
I'll be upon you by the moonlight side.
Well, some Simon Le Bon lyric there.
I mean, if that's sung by a woman, then it would be a hit. Yes.
Yes. Mouth is alive with juices like wine, and I'm hungry like the wolf.
Whatever, dude.
Mm-hmm.
See, you didn't even know that lyric was in there, did you?
No, I didn't. I
Do you want me to read more lyrics like a creepy old man?
That's really the only Duran Duran song I can even tolerate.
I just didn't realize Bill Cosby was writing lyrics for Duran Duran.
Yeah.
It's not stalking if the woman wants it, David.
God.
And with Simon Le Bon and Duran Duran, the women wanted it.
Yeah.
Just telling you.
All right. Wow.
Oh, come on. Take a joke.
Name of a biography. It's not stalking if the woman wants it.
Okay. It's Songs with Zoo Animals in the Title. The number, 1-888-485-MVCR. We'll wrap it up next. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update and the Robbins Trifecta coming up. We got to finish up our Friday Five, which this week, greatest songs of all time with a zoo animal in the title. If China wants their pandas back, whatever. You're not getting them. Anyway, Eye of the Tiger, Survivor number one. Hungry Like the Wolf, Duran Duran at two. Crocodile Rock, Elton at four. Still looking for number three and number five. We've had some great honorable mentions as well. The number 1-888-485-MVCR. And up next, David?
Let's go with B.B. John in Wisconsin.
Hey, boys. How's my brothers from another mother?
Yeah, good.
Good,
man.
Brother. How are you?
Good, good. I just saw Brandon the other day, and I says, hey, how's your incontinence? And he goes, well, it all depends.
Good one.
Well done.
All right, guys. I love listening to your show. I'm on the road a lot, and I can't get the chance to call in, but I finally got through. I'm going to give you, how about the Rolling Stones, The Monkey Man?
Oh, dude. I love that. Yes. I am just a monkey man. I'm glad you are a monkey. It's in my top five Stones song.
Gosh, I love that song.
Oh, I do too.
If it were just personal life, this would be definitely in the top five, if not number one.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Well, there's another Stone song that did make the top five.
Number five.
It's iconic.
Oh, yeah.
It's a test of time. And I do like it.
It's not Monkey
Man. But if
I'm
reaching, I'm going Monkey Man. Yeah. But again, that's not part of the criteria. It's a big one. Okay, who's next?
Let's talk to John in Connecticut. Hey, John.
Hey, greetings today from Deeper Blue, New Jersey, where, you know, they pump their donors, not their gas.
Gold bars while you were there.
That's right.
Absolutely. So I thought I had the perfect pick with the Eagles' Lion Eyes, but Corinne Jean-Pierre already called in for it. So I'm going with Peter Gabriel. Shock the Monkey.
Shock. Man, I got to tell you, John, I feel like Robin's let you down a little. Because I asked yesterday, okay, take out Test of Time or How Big a Hit, just your favorites. This is the one you mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't make it. It was a big enough hit.
It was, yeah, marginal. It wasn't a huge hit.
Test of Time, David?
Yeah.
Oh, you think it's down? Okay.
Not very high.
Yeah.
All right. Didn't make it. Okay, who's next?
Let's talk to Terry in Delaware. Hey, Terry.
Hey, guys. How you doing this weekend?
Great, good. Terry.
Great.
How are
good
you?
Doing. This is Terry from Brandon Falls, Delaware.
Brandon Falls, we love you, man.
Hey, listen, the theme this week is a good one. It's going to be noted in the history books. And
not tonight.
Not tonight. And before I give you this, I want to give a shout-out to WXDE for bringing you to Delaware every week, guys. It's a great show.
Yeah,
thank you so much, man. Appreciate that.
Appreciate that, yeah.
So my pick for this week is from the band The Sweet, and it's Fox on the Run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Number three. Fox on the Run.
All these 45s still. Yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff.
We were talking about it yesterday, you know, about this song in particular, and then it comes up randomly on a playlist for me yesterday, and I screenshot it and sent it to you guys. Yeah. We're being listened to somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something's up.
Very
weird.
Cool.
Yes. Okay, so that's the five. Survivor, Duran Duran, Sweet, Elton John, Rolling Stones. And some of the other honorable mentions. And I know someone called in for it. We didn't have time to get to them. Ted Nugent. And the version on Double Life Gone is so freaking awesome.
It goes about 2,000 miles an hour, man.
Yes, it does.
Fast.
It is great, man. We had a bunch of honorable mentions we didn't have a chance to get to. But, yeah, great list. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Okay. Switching gears. Biggest story today, David.
Biggest story today, of course, you've got the invasion going on at the southern border, and it does look like the House of Representatives was not able to get a vote in order to avoid a government shutdown, so it looks like a government shutdown is on the way. All because Democrats apparently like what's happening at the southern border.
Well, again, we have a big representative out on media from the Democrats saying the border's secure. Yes, it's a humanitarian crisis, but the border's secure. How does that make any sense? Yeah. Of course it doesn't. So we'll get to that. And then you got your big three today, Scott.
Yep.
The trifecta. Straight ahead, right here. All right. Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, it looks like we are barreling towards now officially a government shutdown because a last-ditch effort by Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy failed to garner enough votes to pass. You know, they're saying hardline Republicans are to blame for this, but some Democrats joined him in this. And it's pretty simple what the equation is here. There are enough people in Congress, fortunately, who say, hey, we need to prioritize what's happening at the southern border. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people in Congress who say, what's the problem?
Exactly. But, I mean, you had Presley out there saying, well, it's the border's secure. It's a humanitarian crisis, yes.
Yeah.
But it's secure. It's like, what? And you knew this is the way this was going to play out. And media would go along with the Democrats and blame the Republicans for this. But again, to anyone paying attention to what's happened at the border and continues to happen every day, it has to stop. Don't you think this is the time that these Republicans can say, we're not doing anything until we secure our border?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to have a united message if you're on the holdout side. You know, you can't start talking about other things. It's got to be this one thing.
Yes.
And make it clear, because I think most people now, even in places like New York and Chicago, understand we got a freaking problem. And it's not just some Republican right-wing talking point here. There is a huge problem happening right now. And it's been happening for quite some time. And you have to make that clear. You know, I think this is getting cast as by some Democrats and people like Kevin McCarthy is saying, well, you know, we really don't have the leverage because we don't have the Senate, we don't have the White House. You know, what exactly are we going to do? Well, you do actually have leverage if you're asking for one thing.
You know, let me play a couple of clips of something. And I just want to know what your reaction is to this, because as I was watching this play out this morning, just to see legacy media, how are they handling all of this? In the open for Good Morning America, you got Strahan talking about the government shutdown, right?
Millions of Americans in danger of going without pay, from military families to Border Patrol officers. Some families stand to lose federal food assistance. Speaker McCarthy still scrambling. Top White House official John Kirby joins us live with what it could mean for the military and national security.
So food insecurity. You know, he's going all of this stuff, right? Playing that part. Okay, a little bit later, and this is still in the open, the first 15 minutes of Good Morning America, they do mention the fentanyl crisis, which, of course, we know is coming through the southern border. They don't relate the two so much. But is this something else, actually, when it comes to your town, that's when you start to pay attention to it?
Fentanyl epidemic. Authorities say they seized 40 pounds of the drug, enough to kill a million people, after prosecutors say a suspected drug trafficker took this roller bag full of lethal doses on the subway.
Oh.
Yeah.
The fentanyl's supposed to kill all those people in flyover states.
Right, as long as it's in like places like Ohio and West Virginia and others. I mean, who cares about the overdose epidemic? Who cares? Oh my gosh, they found it on the subway? That's where real people live.
Hey, this could be a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. It's like, do you people understand how all this works? Because you always wonder, are you just that far gone as far as being told what to do from the overlords? Or do you actually believe this? Or that dumb? And you always wonder.
Well,
Not quite sure.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, you ready for your big three?
Yeah, let's go.
It's time. Let's do it.
Are you ready?
One, two,
it's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Scott Robbins trifecta, his top three stories of the day. Right around this time every day with his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Well, the invitation's out there. You want to hang? We got college football. You want to watch some? No, stop.
Got you.
Stop saying that. Stop.
Yes.
Stop. Are you going to be around or not?
Got you. I'm ready. Three.
Evasive, isn't he? Golly.
Yeah. Number three, mandatory drug testing for welfare in San Francisco. Apparently, that's problematic.
Gal, damn, I couldn't even believe it. This is one of those weird things where you go, really? San Francisco Democratic Mayor London Breed proposed mandatory drug testing and treatment for those receiving welfare. Oh, buddy.
Okay.
She offered a plan to tackle the city's homeless and substance abuse crisis. The initiative would require those suspected of substance abuse problems who want to receive money to undergo mandatory drug testing. And if they're test positive, then a treatment program.
Okay.
Those who refuse testing and treatment intervention would be ineligible to receive county-funded cash assistance. Man, it didn't take long for the left to go absolutely ballistic on London Breed.
I ain't gonna stand for it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
They're out of their minds right now, jumping up and down, heads on fire. How dare she? These people have problems. They don't want to be addicts, but they don't know what else to do. And they're going to starve and blah, blah, blah. So anyway.
You know, I remember like years ago that the whole thing was like alternatives to incarceration would be things like treatment options and whatnot for drug addicts. And there was some information and some data that would support that as a cost savings measure if you're actually treating the problem versus just incarcerating somebody.
Yeah.
But now it's just incentivize people to stay on the streets, to stay hooked on drugs, and apparently now they're entitled to get government money while doing those things.
Yes.
Yeah, you need sanity.
And the thing is, this isn't some far right, you know, nut. This is London Breed.
Exactly. But again, you bring up anything common sense, you're racist. You're xenophobic.
And
you're
again, African American, yes.
I don't know. Whatever it is to try to get people on drugs clean, what would you call that? Something phobic, drug phobic.
Addict phobic?
Killjoy. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're whatever. They make up some other word. Okay. Keep letting your city go to crap. I don't know what
this
to tell
is.
You.
This is a crazy story because I couldn't believe it when I read it.
Yeah.
London Breed's proposing this? Yeah. Really?
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
Right. Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day.
Two.
You're telling me there's a court ruling that says that trans people are not oppressed?
This is the Tennessee, the ban on child sex changes that was upheld in court, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, reversing a district court's preliminary injunction on the ban on Thursday. In the opinion of the judge, he said that transgender people are not politically powerless, addressing claims from the activist that the law deserves heightened scrutiny due to the perceived oppression of transgender people. So the judge said, hey, whatever may have been true in the past about our society's treatment of individuals with gender dysphoria, some of it surely isn't true today. It's difficult to maintain that the democratic process remains broken on this issue at this moment. The President of the United States, the Department of Justice, supports the plaintiffs. A national anti-discrimination law, Title VII, also protects transgender individuals in the employment service. You can't discriminate. 14 states have passed laws specifically allowing some of the treatment sought here. 20 states have joined the brief in support of the plaintiffs. Who is being discriminated against? Get out of my sight.
Well, yeah. It's protecting kids. That's what it's about.
Matt Walsh, who kind of started this whole thing, said this is huge. Our ban on child mutilation has been upheld. When the bill was passed, trans activists gloated that they would easily get it overturned in court. Who's gloating now, you child-butchering ghouls?
Yikes. You know, you go back and you think about it. The first time he reported on Vanderbilt, and people thought, is this real? I mean, and then you're actually hearing the recordings of these people talking about how much money they can make off of this. And then the Children's Hospital in Boston, and they were denying, we don't do any of this, until the evidence is there. We do and we should.
Yeah.
It's gender-affirming care.
But
it's crazy,
this
man.
This judge is like, are you serious?
Yeah, that's good.
Discriminated against? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And the countdown continues.
The Scott Robbins trifecta.
One.
Whoa.
David's mic is off.
Number one. Sorry about that. I was enjoying
I saw your mouth moving and nothing was coming out. I thought perhaps for a minute there, I thought I was seeing the light. It's like, this is how it ends.
Right. Well, and I'm sure you're probably thinking, hey, clarification, that wasn't Scott on that one.
No, I didn't.
No, that one. That was me. That was me.
Not Scott on the monkey butt.
Not me.
No.
That was David today.
Any excuse to play that song again?
Monkey buttons on the show once in a while. If that means I can play Monkey Man again from the Stones, I'm going to do it.
Okay, that's good. Okay. All right. Glad it was him this time.
Yes. Hey, Skid Row, I'll give you that too. All right, go ahead, David. Sorry.
Colin Kaepernick has gotten some interest from an NFL team.
Yeah, he may have a shot after all of getting another chance in professional football. It may not be the NFL, though.
I was waiting for the punchline.
Not the NFL. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Each team in the CFL can claim exclusive CFL rights of up to 45 players by placing them on their negotiation list.
Players, Canadian Football League?
Yes.
So this isn't the United States either?
No, it's not. Players can be added, removed, or traded. It seems now that Colin has, in fact, been put on one of their lists.
Wait a second, a possible
player on the BC Lions.
This has come up before. He wasn't interested.
He's still not interested, apparently.
Oh, no. You can't score any points there.
I was just going to say, what?
He would actually have to go play.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what he's after.
He's got no interest in being signed with anybody. He just wants to complain about not being signed with anybody.
And then the knuckleheads will come out again and defend him. Cap.
And it won't be because he hasn't played since 2016. It'll be why? Because everyone is racist. Of course.
Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there you have it.
Yeah. I know there was another story you didn't have time for. It was brutal, man. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
What happened at the school where the trans student, it's a biological male, beat
the car out of this girl. This was in Hazelbrook Middle School in Oregon.
Yeah, Tigard-Tualatin district. Yeah.
Transgender student violently assaulted a female student. There's video of it in the hallway.
Did you see the video, David?
I did. There's actually a couple of videos now. The same dude doing it a couple different times.
The male student identifies as a girl, was seen grabbing the female student's hair and punching her in the face. And the video is everywhere now. The boy walks away. Leaving the girl sobbing. She finally gets to her feet, panicking so bad that she says she can't breathe. Oh, yeah. This crap has got to stop.
If that's your daughter that got beat up like that. Oh, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah. Well, and again, bad things would happen immediately, and I'm not so sure I would stay out of jail.
Oh, I think there are a lot of people that feel the exact same way.
Wow.
You know what the headline is from the Oregonian on this story?
Oh, I can't wait.
Video of Tualatin Middle School assault goes viral, sparking conversation about youth and social media.
Well, the reason they're even saying that is because this was a planned attack.
Yeah,
there's
a trend, and there have been similar trends around the country where there's like people are stationed around with their cameras rolling, and then there's some key phrase, and then boom. I think the actual conversation though is like, isn't that a dude in a crop top like just wailing on a girl?
Said by the way, he's done this two times before with other female students. And he's still in school there.
Okay.
Yep.
And I do, man. There's a million things that you would like to say. You know?
Oh, I agree. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. But to keep jobs, Probably just wise to play Johnny. Johnny shows up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the trifecta, by the way. All right. We got to get to another news update. And then, of course, Nimrod's in the news straight ahead. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Of course, one of the big stories today was Senator Dianne Feinstein passing away at the age of 90. Not exactly a surprise. She's been very sick and senile and all of that for years now. And the Democrats and just the Washington machine in general is so evil that they wheeled her in to vote. She goes to her home in D.C. and then dies last night.
It was,
like,
man.
Dang, man. You can't even be back home in California? That I don't understand that. I am not capable of wrapping my head around that mentality.
Well, in addition to that, you don't quite know because from all the reports, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, she didn't know where she was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're to understand.
No.
So why wouldn't they put her in a place where she would be most comfortable? Again, I don't know the answers. Maybe there is a good answer. I don't know.
Well, another little wrinkle in this entire thing is that Dianne Feinstein was the tie-breaking vote on the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, which approves judicial nominees before then going to the full Senate. Now, the Republicans will probably not allow her seat to be replaced by whoever may be put out there by the Democrats, which means that under the current process, judicial nominees ain't going through. For Joe Biden.
Wow.
I saw one analyst say, this is Ruth Bader Ginsburg all over again, basically.
I was going to say, you know what that reminds me of? Yeah, the same people freaking out. Like, right. You should have left a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something. All right, got to roll out
Nimrod. When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dean.
It's Nimrod's in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrod's the News. We'll start in Texas today. Employee at Popeye's, he's 17. He got arrested. He fired 7 shots at somebody in the restaurant's parking lot. See, he was selling weed at work, and it was a drug deal gone wrong. This one wasn't about fries or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Then there was a guy in India, showed up at a hospital, said he's had a stomachache for over 2 years. Like, wow, finally came in. It turned out he'd swallowed more than 50 household items, including lockets, chains, nuts, bolts, and earbuds.
Oh, my God.
And that's Nimrod's in the News.